it seems to be recording really in a high level though, so let's see what happens. So, hey everybody, it's Dean.
It's Mike.
And Em.
And it's pre-comic book day and we are in the Artist Alley, All-Stars Artist Alley, which we had a fun time trying to find.
Yeah, I think maybe they were trying to recreate the labyrinth scene from the 1986 film Labyrinth in terms of finding the alley, because it was, a bit tricky. And we're all pretty familiar with Melbourne alleyways, but we got lost.
Yeah.
But we're here now.
We got lost, but we just followed a fellow geek.
Well, you led astray by Stan. It was Stan giving you the wrong directions.
Well, no, Stan just told us, it's this and go to the end of the alleyway. How awesome was Stan, though? So, this episode's pretty much just going to be me talking on my own, because you have to go and draw it, don't you?
Yeah, I'm about to head off in about 1 minute.
And Abby, you've got to go as well.
And I just have to head off for totally non-geek related things. But I.
Okay, well let's use these 60 seconds wisely. How has your free comic book day been?
Okay, my free comic book day has been awesome. I actually didn't get any free comic books because I was on a mission to buy the first trade of Sex Criminals. It's the feature comic for this month's All-Star Women's Comic Book Club meetup. Such a mouthful. So I'm like, right, it's been on my hit list for ages. This is a perfect opportunity to get it and prepare for that day so that I can dissect the shit out of it. So
I reckon the episode before that meetup, you and I are going to have a Sex Criminals talk on the show.
Yeah.
I think absolutely. That's going to be great. And what about you, Mike? You've been sketching at Classics as well, haven't you?
Sketching a classic. I've read nothing. I've collected comics, and I'm about to go draw again. So,
is your hand tired at all?
No, it's actually good. Yeah, I did some sketches of three kids before I finished up a classic, and they loved them. The kids saw my Green Lantern ring, got excited, and wanted to be drawn as Green Lantern. So I'm like, yes, inspiration. So,
the kids have been the funnest part of the day, I've got to say.
Yeah.
Like, just the interaction with the kids has been absolutely awesome. Anyway, Mike's got to go.
Bye-bye. I'll see you guys later.
And I have to say, I love the fact that All-Star they opened the store for a couple of hours at the start and it was just like family hour.
Well, that was Nath, actually. Nath actually went and had that experience with his kids, so I might interview him and find out what that was like.
And I think it's a great idea because there's so many grown-up kids, basically, at these kinds of events that kind of can monopolise the space. And, you know, it's good that they had time for the kids to actually just get in there and do their thing.
Well, what I love what they did as well is they actually have a pack of all of the kids' ones that they give them automatically, and then they have one to pick from the show bag, which I'm really jealous because I want the show bag, but I'm being respectful and not even trying to get one. So yeah, but it's been a really fun day, and
yes,
I've just relaxed and read comics.
What have you been doing today, birthday boy?
It is my birthday as well. What's your birthday? Yay! You know what? I've just chilled out. Like, I left my house and went to a comic shop and slowly walked down Bourke Street. I went into Comics R Us. And I got ripped off. Only because I found issue number 2 of the first volume of Spider-Man 2099. And I've never been able to complete my set of that because I've never had issue number 2. I've been trying to find it for ages. Whenever I've been at a con or whenever I've been anywhere, I've been trying to find issue 2. And it was there. And I was like, oh my God. And a back issue of a comic from the 2000 was $10. And I literally stood there for 5 minutes going... Motherfuckers.
Yeah,
I checked eBay, and then I was like, fuck this, it's here. I've never been able to read it.
Sometimes
I've looked at it for so long. So I just bought it, but it really made me angry.
Yeah.
Because $10 for a back issue is ridiculous. That's a little bit harsh.
Angry shopping is not good shopping either.
Well, $10 for, like, if it was issue like 275, that makes a bit more sense to me. But for just a random issue, it just made me a little bit angry.
Yeah, it's a bit.
But hey, it's been a great day. Free comic book day in Australia is better than Halloween. Look, I love how interactive it is.
Hey, come on now.
Hey, I love Halloween as
well. I love Halloween.
But I love how you could not walk through Melbourne without seeing people geeked up.
That's
whether
true.
It's geek t-shirts or actual cosplay.
Yes.
And I mean, I was going to cosplay as Gay Iceman today, but I couldn't find the right boots. And I'm nothing if not a completionist.
Yep, fair enough.
So yeah. But you've got to go as well. So I'm gonna love and leave. We're going to love and leave them.
Yep.
We're here at All-Stars Artist Alley. And I might go back and get some of the comics from All-Star now.
Good idea.
We'll see. And I'm just going to make an episode out of lots of random interviews.
Yay.
Yay. Thanks, Em.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, watchers, the funniest thing just happened. I'm just leaving the All-Star Artist Alley right now, and the lights went out. The lights went out in the entire alley, and the drawers just have to keep on drawing. Someone has their phone light on, and Mike is drawing a Batman. It is completely hilarious, because it's just people with their phones on. The drawing is not stopping, but it's in complete darkness. I'm loving it. All right, so what did you do today? You slept in?
I slept in, and then I did what I do most free comic book days, which is...
Avoid the comic book stores?
No, I don't. I actually like going to them, but I like going to them as a spectator.
Yeah, no, so do I. I didn't dress up today, also because I couldn't find the right boots. I was going to be Gay Iceman.
I saw you posted that,
but I couldn't find the right boots.
Okay.
And if I can't do it properly, I'm not going to do it at all.
That's reasonable.
And it was nice to be a spectator this time.
It's kind of cool, isn't it? You can just sort of stand back and watch the day happen.
Yeah. Everyone, I was saying, I don't remember if I said it on there or not, everyone's picked up their game a lot since All-Star have come on the scene.
Like the events?
For Free Comic Book Day, all the stores have certainly,
Well,
not Minotaur, but all the other stores, stores I validate.
I see Minotaur as a department store of geek stores.
Yeah, they're David Jones.
Yeah.
I prefer Target, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I can completely agree on that front.
Yeah.
But you're right, since All-Star really could have sort of, you know, pulled out all stops.
Yeah.
Everyone else has gone, well, why can't we do the same?
Yeah.
And you get some great results.
Good, like, even, okay, classic every single year was like, we can't really fit people in here, we can't really do that, and now they came up with a system that works, and it works. Like, they've got people drawing in the store.
Yeah.
Everyone that wants to go and buy their comic can just walk in. Like, it's everyone's realised, you know what? There's no reason to say no, and everyone's kind of done a bit better.
I think that's it. And I was talking to Jared about that when I arrived at Classic today, because the store looked empty, but they had a line, you know, three shop fronts long kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I said, what's going on? Why is this store empty with all these people waiting? He said, they're just waiting for the sketches.
Which made me laugh, because people should just go to, well, I'm not trying to dissuade, but like the Artist Alley was great. Yeah, but there wasn't like three people lined up artists, and you've got like 10 artists.
They had a lot of artists.
Yeah, a lot of artists doing like one thing at a time. And here, they had what, three?
Three or four
artists at the most, and the line of people just waiting. Like, I got in the line, I'm like, this is a good birthday present to myself. Get them to draw anything. And 15 minutes in that line, I hadn't even moved 30 centimetres. I was like, fuck this. Like, I love what they do, but I'm not waiting in that. You know?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I was just watching the line thinking, those people are going to be so disappointed.
Yeah.
Only because it's going to take so long. But I did like the fact that they had changed the way the store was being used today. Because that meant that people just want to go in for a couple of books or to browse. There's no stopping.
And that's me.
And that's how it should be.
I do come and get my actual comics on Free Comic Book Day.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Right.
Well, you know what I'm excited about now?
What?
I'm excited for Marvel's Secret Wars Battle World thing. I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And part of that was because the minute these things get announced and how the media spin it, and I wasn't excited for a convergence in the Marvel Universe, which is what I felt like I was going to see.
Like, yeah.
But now that we're closer to it, oh, look, a bride. By the way, we're at a pub outside, like... Parliament.
Right next to the theatre district.
Right next to Dirty Dancing. So there's a lot of women trying to order white wine and a lot of brides getting photos taken on the steps of Parliament.
And a guy who looks suspiciously like Prince.
Oh my God, it could be Prince.
I'm kind of hoping it is.
No, I think if it would be Prince, there would be a little bit of security.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything by halves.
No.
There'd be a scene.
It's true. Lots of Nate would be screaming like crazy. But yeah, now that it's closer and they're starting to bring the issues, like the Free Comic Book Day issue, which really just sets the groundwork for everything and sets the tone for what's coming out in the issue on Wednesday.
You've read it already?
I just had a look. I sat down in Bourke Street Mall and had a look at it.
I got a copy of Divergence, the DC book.
Yep.
I hadn't looked at it yet because Jared told me I had to read Batman 40 before I could look at Divergence.
I hate that shit. Like,
it's, yeah, I was a bit disappointed by that. Look, to be fair, 40 came out last week, so I've got no one to blame but myself for not having read that one yet.
Okay, this is true.
But I thought, didn't they used to put a whole lot of books? Like, they used to do a whole
bunch. They used to do, I think, 52 of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this opportunity. What's your take on Iceman coming out?
Look, I haven't read X-Men, so I'm not sure what's happened there.
Oh, Iceman's come out. Shall I give you the rundown?
Yes, you better.
So, why don't you read X-Men? X-Men is amazing.
I've just never really been a Marvel
guy. I don't know what's
guy.
Wrong with you.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Okay. the Bendis has been writing all new X-Men, which has the Beast brought the X-Men younger generation of X-Men, like in the 60s, right, to our time, okay, to kind of show, because Cyclops was creating like a mutant movement that would tear the mutant world apart.
I did read somewhere he became the new Magneto. He
became like a living embodiment of the things they were. It was great. It's really good.
Yep.
And so Beast brought the characters to kind of show Cyclops how far he's fallen.
Okay.
And there's been 40 issues of the young X-Men interacting in our world, and they're not going, and they refuse to go home. So
that's
like Jean
really
Grey
cool.
is that it's really good. It's really I'll chuck them your way and get you to have a read.
I'll check
it's
them out, yeah.
really strong and it's really good. And Bendis is leaving the issue in a month, I think, the X-Universe, when Battleworld kind of kicks off. And he said all he wanted to do with these five characters, they're not leaving.
Yeah.
They're not being removed. Someone else is picking up the thread, and he just wanted to put them all in a different place.
Okay, right.
With Beast, you've got Beast and Jean kind of having. Jean has feelings for Scott and Beast. You've got Beast reveling in where he's at, but not trying to make the mistakes of his other Beast. Angel has taken on cosmic power, and he's turned around and gone, the reason why is because I've looked at what my life is, and I don't want to be that, and I don't want to look at this and go, I have no other option but to become this awful thing. So I want to make a change.
That's kind of cool.
It's great.
It's giving us a chance to sort of not reinvent the character, but allow them to evolve in a different direction.
But, and everyone's like, well, it's not affecting the character in the future, so what does this mean? Cyclops left the team and went into space with his father.
Right.
So he's actually able to have a relationship that he never got to have as a child. Yeah.
Okay.
Jean Grey has gone, been able to develop. She, the minute she got here, she became a telepath, which means Xavier has been blocking her telepath abilities, and she's actually controlling them, kind of, and surpassed the power level of the Jean Grey that we had. But she is a nosy bitch. Like, she's a kid, so she can't help but read people's minds. And
it's the whole curiosity thing.
And Iceman has kind of just been Iceman. Like, a bit of a joke and things like that. And a little bit sexist here and there, but funny. And basically, Kitty's now in space because she's Shadowcat's engaged to Star-Lord.
Okay, I didn't
in
know
space.
That
happened
yep,
last up. Week. And Ilana, Darkchild, has become their mentor. And
yeah.
she is in essentially a bikini with giant swords. And then when she teleports away, Iceman goes, How awesome is our new leader's outfit? And Jean goes, Bobby. He goes, what? And it's like, come over here. And she goes, come on, Bobby, like, come on. And he's like, what? And she's like, I don't know why you say stuff like that. And he goes, like what? And she goes, you know, because. And he's like, what? And he goes, because. And she goes, because you're gay.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, what? And she's like, I know you know this. Like, I can stop reading my... And he's like, stop reading my mind. And it's like, I know you know this.
That's a nice
like,
idea.
And it's okay. And she's like, and it's all right if you're like this. And he puts up an eye shield and everyone else is not like, whatever's going on over there is going on over there. And he's like, but the older me's not gay. He's had girlfriends.
Well, I was going to ask about that,
and
yeah.
Jean goes, well, that doesn't mean he's not gay. And he goes, but, you know, like, and he goes, he went out with Kitty Pryde, like, and now she's in outer space. And it's all this stuff where it's like, wow, this is really cool. Like, this is really strong.
That's particularly cool because doing it to the younger version, you've now got an older version who can, I don't know, sort of try and figure out
well,
what
issue
this means
six,
to him as well.
Issue 600 is Bendis' final issue.
Yeah.
Right? And issue 600 is going to be where he has the conversation between younger and older Iceman. And I here's my take. Like, if Iceman ends up being gay, great. I personally, and then Iceman's like, maybe I'm bi,
yeah.
young Iceman. And Jean's like, no, you're gay. She's like, stop, and he's like, stop reading my, thank you for reading my mind, you nosy bitch, and stuff. And it's like, okay, this is cool. And, but what's interesting, I think this is something that older Bobby has dealt with.
Yeah.
I would like it if what gets explored is not that Bobby is gay, but that Bobby, this doesn't, he's dealt with this and it's not his path. But
yep.
he's still, you know what I mean? Like,
so
I think,
his character,
I think it would be great to, it's not
respect.
A defining element of it.
Yeah.
Because, and apparently because in the extra, they always played up with the idea, but no one ran with it. And Bendis wrote it into the script and then sent it to the editor. He didn't discuss it with anyone. So then the editor sent it to Axel Alonso, or whatever his name is. And then they went, okay, we need to have a discussion about this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he turns around and goes, and it was Brian going, but this is the where the character would be now, which made us all go, okay, let's do it.
That's cool.
So that's cool. So that's I've been loving it. I'm curious to see where it goes. But what have you been reading?
So I've been catching up on stuff. I was reading... I did read Batman 40 after talking to the guys yesterday. And I also read the final issues of Batman Eternal. And I have a love-hate relationship with the weeklies that DC do.
They just don't nail it for me.
They don't
do
it.
And I try. Yeah.
And even the ones that do better than the bad ones, they all seem to lose the plot or come off the wheels at some point.
Yeah.
And I think it's simply you're trying to tell such a long story in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But
if someone's going to do that long plan, you need to give them 2 years to write it.
That's the thing, yeah. And I think that's the other side of it, is that they try to cram a lot into... Like, at some points, the pacing just goes out the window. Because you have issues where very little happens, and then you have a couple slammed together, all this big development going on very quickly, and you're left with a really uneven book. So overall, it might be a good story, but the experience you have reading it is just a bit, eh.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eternal to me was one of the better ones. It started off really strong, had some nice ideas I hadn't seen elsewhere. It felt a lot like Hush in many ways, because Hush was really nice in that it was kind of Batman having all these big things thrown in one after the other. No rest, no reprieve. There was a bigger picture, but he couldn't nail it.
Yeah.
He couldn't figure out why. Eternal gives you some of that, but then by the time you get to the end part of it and you get the villain, I was happy about the choice in villain because it wasn't one of your A-listers. It wasn't a Joker or a Ra's al Ghul.
Can we give away who it is?
The book's been out for a couple of weeks at least,
okay,
I think we can. So Cluemaster was the one pulling the strings because
okay. He
had put this thing together, and it's really quite clever. He said, when there's big things going down, like, you know, the Court of Owls or the Injustice League or whatever, he noticed that the heroes obviously go after the big hitters and the little guys can do what they want.
Yeah.
So he had taken it upon himself to send out invitations to a couple of the big hitters in Gotham and just said, hey, look, make some noise, wreck stuff up. And that's how you end up getting Hush involved in this storyline and you end
this
up with
cool.
other people. And I sort of went, I like this. This is such a nice idea. Of course, it turns out there was actually another villain involved as well. And that one kind of was the string pull. But
that's them playing their long game.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I hate.
And it was.
So what does that have to do with Divergent?
Oh, no, that one doesn't. Eternal was a standalone thing. But the end game was that the big villain was Thomas Wayne Jr. back again.
My God, I'm so sick of that.
I'm sick of him. But the good bit about the end was that he was actually being captured by the Court of Owls who want revenge on him then. So I was like, okay, if you're going to do anything to him, get rid of him.
I'm over it. Like, I'm over it.
That's fair.
You know, like...
The thing I didn't like about him was the whole is he or is he not element.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just make him...
Make it and do it and run with it.
The ambiguity of that kind of thing only lasts for so long. And if you keep doing that with every new edition, it's like, I don't care anymore.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I started watching X-Files. I know I've said it before.
Oh, yes?
But I actually, like, I'm up to episode 3 of the first season.
Good.
And fuck, I love the 90s.
It's like, great, isn't it?
It's so... And I mean, remember when the X-Files, where it was like, we're filming this differently, we're not doing it, we're doing this intentional stuff.
Yeah.
And like, Scully is not sexual at all.
No.
But I remember her being such a... MILF. And I'm like,
really?
Watching it going, but she is a sexual in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no.
And even the script is very clunky. Like, I love it, but it's a very clunky script.
Oh, it is. I've been rewatching it as well.
What are you up to?
I'm on season 3.
Okay.
So I've kind of gone a bit ahead of you there. But the same
thing
holds
true. I'm in the first 3 episodes, so.
Yeah. The same thing holds true is that, you're right, Scully and Mulder, they there's nothing to them in regards to a sexual relationship.
No.
Emotional at all. You really... There's points where you actually think these two don't actually like each other.
I'm trying to remember when the actual relationship between the two of them happened. Like six,
I want to say it's five or six, yeah. Because it kind of... It's the slow burn that they do...
But they weren't the Sam and Diane, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just... And it wasn't it that... Then she got pregnant and he got kidnapped and...
And then she
very
had the
days
kid
of our lives. And the kid was an
she
alien.
She named him after...
The daughter,
Mulder's
the
dad, or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That bit that got really kind of soapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like that so much. But yeah, all the stuff beforehand. In fact, there was an episode I was watching, not last night, the night before, where someone was referring to Mulder. No, it was they were trying to unhypnotize these abductees.
Yeah.
And they were referring to the people in the room or the FBI agents they'd seen, and they referred to Scully as being the strangest looking man they'd ever seen. And I just look, that's a really weird thing to describe her as, because she's obviously made her face going, what? Because she's not.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's a fair point, because for the majority of the show, they don't treat her as the female agent.
No.
They just treat her as an agent.
An agent. It's really...
That was good.
And she's... It's great. Like, this is where, yeah, it's really good. Like, it's not, she, and now if a remake of that would be done, it would be she's inferior because she's a woman. When in fact, the whole issue and the premise, like even in episode 3, when it's the guy that eats the livers.
Eugene Toombs, yep.
That's it, Eugene Toombs, and that's what I just watched last night. Even in that episode where she's running a bar and he's going to kill her, there's nothing overtly feminine about it.
No.
There's nothing playing up with the sexual female dichotomy of it. And even she, like, I just burped. What I loved about it, like when he runs in and is like, Scully, are you okay? And she goes, yes. And the guy tries to run away. And Scully grabs him and holds him against the wall so that Mulder can point the gun. And this is where I'm like, this is amazing that we have that. And we can't make that in characters now. Like, we don't allow them to make characters like that.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because all it takes is, oh, look, I think it was Joss Whedon or something. Someone asked him, how do you write good female characters? And he said, I just do. I write good characters. And that's what she was.
Yeah.
It didn't matter that she was a woman, that she was young and attractive. It was just like, she is also an FBI agent. She's trained to do this job, and she does it
because it's her job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
But you're right about the dialogue
as well.
And it's
so weird when I'm watching, say, because I've also been watching Fringe, and when you look at that in a completely different regard, where this takes the woman as the FBI agent, and it really plays on her insecurities and her emotional relationships, and it's so interesting to go, it's still great, but it's so interesting to go, wow, like, they use the fact that she's a woman more to facilitate what she's doing.
Yeah, like that was the one where
Em's going to love this conversation.
Yeah?
We're going to have to make her listen and then go, alright,
I'm looking forward to part two there.
Yeah,
because the first episode, her partner got dissolved or exploded or something.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah. Into the end,
yeah.
I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I do remember watching that, and for the first season at least, everything tied back to
the whole
trying
first
to find
season
him back.
Tries back to him and that journey for her.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just not that. And it's just, we only got stuff like that, like Twin Peaks or whatever. It was all under the radar. Like, none of it was, this is the next big thing. It was very under the radar that we got these onto television, and then they blew us out of the water.
Fun fact, X-Files and Briscoe County Jr., which is a cowboy show, were both piloted at the same time against each other. One had, you know, David Duchovny, who was a no-name, but the other one had Bruce Campbell, who was not much of a name.
I've never heard of that show.
I've got it. I will give it to you.
Really?
I love it.
Okay.
But anyway, Briscoe County Jr. was the one that the networks reckoned was going to take off, because it was this cowboy adventure show. It had a bit of a science fiction twist on it, and they went, oh, that's going to be a blast. Who wants boring FBI agents involving themselves in strange things?
Everyone.
Bang, off goes the cowboy show. X-Files gets 10 years.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bizarre. And you're right about the dialogue. It's something that I couldn't put my finger on it until we were talking about it, but there are points in that show where it's just so robotic.
It's completely, it's very, well, no, robotic's not the word. It's procedural.
Logic-based. Yeah.
It's not procedural like Law and Order, but it's very science-based. And it's like, yeah, because you're investigating this stuff. Like, it's not sexualized, it's not fun, and it's great that it speaks to the minds of the viewer in a different way.
That is true, but it also follows a pattern in that every time they go to a scene where something's bizarre or can't be explained quickly, then you've got the Mulder's got a theory.
Yeah.
And those scenes always kind of play out in very similar ways. What if Scully? What if we're dealing with... And it always goes through the same stuff.
Yeah.
And that was good, because they often come up with things that... Yeah, it's kind of like taking a real concept that people might go, oh, I kind of know about that.
Yeah.
And they go, what if we stretch that? And you end up with this bizarre endpoint. But, it did a really good job of having that procedural police feeling of, you know, we're investigating things, but also involving these out there ideas.
So
batshit crazy stuff.
It was great.
I still remember Eugene Toombs. That was one of the first episodes I saw.
Because then he comes back season 2.
He does.
When they can't prove that... he did it.
Yeah.
And then what I love, because doesn't he go after the guy in the old people's home?
He does, because Mulder figured out...
Well, because what I remember from that is that I remember the shots of everything going black and white, and you can see the actual liver or blood that he's trying to hunger for. And I was watching that third episode, waiting to see it.
Yeah.
And went, oh my God, like, they do it in one shot. And I'm like, but that's what I identify as this character. Like,
oh, wow. And it was that kind of stuff. They had a really great way of giving visual kind of identities and cues. They didn't have to show you...
They didn't explain it.
Yeah, they didn't have to show you chapter and verse of everything. You just get a bit. It was enough to unsettle you and make you think, well, I don't know what they're dealing with now. This is just out there.
Have you finished Daredevil yet?
I have.
Okay, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm still... I'm up to episode 8. I'm just after Styx, Mr. Styx.
Yeah.
When he goes to that guy at the end and it's like, will Murdoch be ready when the gates open? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
because then I keep having people come over to my house and go, oh, I'm only up to this episode. All right, we'll go back. So I'm repeatedly... I've watched the first 3 episodes like 12 times.
That's not a bad thing. But
no, I'm still not
sick of
it. You
want to see the end of it, though.
But I'm like, okay, let's keep on rolling.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say? It's...
Look, it's good. You do want to see the rest of it. The thing I found interesting about Styx...
I'm so curious if Bullseye gets introduced.
No.
He doesn't?
No
because
Bullseye.
I'm glad. Like, I'm glad about it.
Styx. So the thing that I found interesting about Styx... Also, yeah, there's no Bullseye. They
I love that.
They seem to have made a conscious effort not to do characters that they got in the film.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that was the result, but it's what you got.
Well, if you want to set up the universe, it's about so much more than that. And there's no point introducing Elektra. Because, you know, you've got to kill Karen.
Well, yeah, and they name drop Elektra.
Do they?
Sort of. There's a flashback to when the guys are in college, and they reference the fact that Matt was dating that Greek chick who was really hot.
Great.
And that is as far as it goes.
That's great, yeah.
And it's good, because all they're saying is, yeah, she exists in this universe.
When she was introduced as well, she wasn't Elektra. You know, I can't even remember how she was introduced.
I can't remember either.
And what I love, like, even in this short amount of episodes, there's a very slow story that they're telling.
That's the bit I liked most about the show.
Yeah.
So, they took 13 episodes to tell what a movie usually does in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's so much better this way.
Yeah. Like, even with the villains and stuff, it's great. The Russians, like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
The downfall of the Russians.
Yeah, and then...
I do love even with Wilson Fisk, they make a joke about a cravat and white jacket. I love...
There's a lot of little nods like that, which is good. Like, even Styx, when he leaves Matt with the Styx, which is, you know, the signature weapon, so...
Yeah.
It makes sense he's got them there. But the Styx episode was interesting because it gave us the first hint that there's something supernatural going on in Hell's Kitchen as well.
Does that play out later?
Well, no, it doesn't. Yeah. And that's the thing I liked, is that they introduced this idea, like, it was the kid that was the package.
Yeah.
And then Matt's all like, you know, it's just a boy, and he's like, that's not a boy. And it's like, well, of course it is, but obviously Styx is trying to say there's something else going on there.
Yeah.
And they leave that. And that's great, because it means that when they do come back with the Defenders or Series 2 or whatever, they've got this avenue to sort of say...
They can touch on these things, but they can also leave them behind. So I read somewhere that Netflix are making 5 Marvel series. 5.
Yes, yeah.
So there's
Daredevil, Jessica Jones.
Yep.
Iron Fist.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
Defenders.
Okay.
That's 4. I don't know what the 5th is. There's Season 2 of Daredevil, technically a 5th, but...
Maybe it's that.
Yeah.
Still exciting.
The Iron Fist connection is probably going to be through Madame Gao, the drug dealer.
Yeah.
She makes references to coming from somewhere a long, long, far, far away kind of thing, suggesting it's not China, but
I don't know. Oh, I can't wait.
It's well played. Like, all that stuff where they could be suggesting comic booky things, they kind of just leave it open.
They leave it open in just enough of a way. Like, I keep forgetting that he has enhanced senses.
Yeah, which is great. It shouldn't be the focal point because it's part of him, but... You know, if anything, that really just brings him back into line with a sighted person. So
exactly.
There's a point, actually. Someone references the blind escorts that are used by Madame Gao to deliver her drugs. And they sort of go, oh, of course, she uses blind people. No one looks twice at a blind person. And Matt Murdock makes this face like, yeah, they certainly would look twice at a blind person. I thought, that's a nice little drop that he is going to avoid suspicion simply because he's blind.
Yeah.
So they've definitely.
I do love as well, like, the Foggy has no idea what's going on. Well, where I'm up to anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm enjoying it a lot. I mean, I'm not at the end yet. Let's wait. Maybe I'll try to get to the end for the next recording.
Yeah. Part 2 of this conversation will be awesome as well.
It's... Okay. So you said you were reading comics.
So yeah, reading Batman Eternal. I think that's all I actually read last night. Last night was a long night before the comic reading came into
it. A lot of drinking.
Sparky and I went out and had a good evening. We got kicked out because the place was closing, that kind of an evening.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's a good way to go.
Yeah, it was fun. I finished Batman 40, which I think is important because it was the end game storyline. that Snyder's been working on. And I realised, before I read this one, that Snyder's kind of the first creator in a long time, on Batman at least, who's been allowed to write his own character from start to finish.
Yeah.
And that sort of made me stop and go, well, hang on, that's pretty mind-blowing. Because that, he got to do everything. He got to set up Bruce's training, he got to set up Bruce's identity-building kind of story
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, he got to do it all.
And then he killed him. And that was... I am under no illusion that Batman is not dead.
Yeah.
It's Batman.
So that's what happened in episode 40.
Pretty much.
You just spoiled it. I didn't realise.
Sorry.
So he killed... I don't care. I don't read DC. So Batman gets killed.
Pretty much.
How?
Fighting the Joker. See, that's the big thing about the Endgame story, is that they've been dropping hints that the Joker is not just
so
a man.
I should totally go back and get a couple of the comics.
Yeah. Endgame's worth reading.
Okay. How long is Endgame?
Oh, it couldn't be more than maybe 6 issues at most. But the beautiful thing was that they set the Joker up as potentially not being just a white-faced lunatic.
Yeah.
That he might have had a superpower. And the superpower is simply why he kept on dying and being able to come back.
And he's killed Bruce. How did he kill Bruce?
Well, they fight to a standstill, pretty much. The Joker's trying to get to the last deposits of this thing that's been giving him the ability to live.
Is this the last issue?
Well, that's why I'm confused, because I saw a photo on Twitter from Capullo, who is putting the Batman number 43 credits up as written by Snyder, drawn by Capullo.
Great.
So I don't know what's happening next, but it sounds like they've really just gone, this is the end of the story, this is the end, now we're going to tell another story.
And great.
That's cool. I'm really happy with that, because on the one hand, you kind of go, yes, character deaths are important, but on the other, this is like DC and Marvel, their main characters will never die. Everyone who dies comes back. So why not play with that and just say, look, this is one option of how that could go.
Jan, I now want to go to the store. It's too late.
It's too late. They're gone. But it's worth reading. They've done a really good job of making the Joker something different and nasty.
I'm going to have to have... All right, I'll have more of a look.
Did you read Death of the Family?
Yeah, that ended badly, but I loved everything else about it.
The end of that was a bit weak, yeah. And it was because they were setting up the next bit.
Really? Which is now Endgame?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the ending for that did feel like a cop.
Pays off.
I think it pays off now,
all right,
yes.
All right, I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Good plan. Yeah. I went for that one. But that's about all I've been reading.
Yeah, I can't think of anything more to talk about.
No, I'm up to date there. What else have you been watching? Oh, have you seen Age of Ultron? You've seen Age of Ultron?
Yes, but I feel like we should talk about this with everyone else.
That's fair.
But I was going to do a segue. So this is my just quick review of the Age of Ultron.
Yes! 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 Oh! Oh! Oh, yes! 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 Oh! Yes! 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 Oh! Oh, God. Oh.
Yep,
and
that works.
It's like, so yeah, we'll talk more about Age of Ultron next episode, where we'll have a lot to say, I think.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot to say.
Nathan only watched it like 2 nights ago.
Well,
I went to the media screening. I went to the midnight showing at IMAX. Like, I'm in.
How many times have you seen it?
3.
Okay, good on you. I've seen it one so far. But
with some of the shots, you need to go back to look.
I figured that. I figured they laid in a lot of detail this time.
And I enjoyed that, but we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I think we're good. Bye, people.
See ya.